Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
And we got to get you caught up on the scoreboard here for a second. So let me just say, these are the new stats, most up to date. Joe Biden has won twice in Michigan this fall. Jim Harbaugh has won twice in Michigan this fall. Syracuse and the Jets have won once combined in New York this entire fall. I think that sums up the last couple of months, right?
Yeah, I think you could work with that.
I mean, because listen,
fuzzy math politically, but you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, we take the data as it comes across.
Listen, you can't say fuzzy math. Michigan won two games. Okay, I watched those games. They only won two. All right, they did not win more than that. Okay, it was two wins by Michigan.
Yeah, the Jim Harbaugh detractors waiting for their next opportunity to scream. We've heard the arguments. Move on.
And I'm just glad that game just ended right before the Monday night game. That Rutgers game. It was a long game, and it just ended right before. It was like a 5-hour game. I'm watching this Saturday night, going, please, can this game just end? Come on, this is
what a bleeping choke job that was too. run the entire Rutgers staff off for their craptastic play calling in the first OT. Hey, let's set up for a field goal because college kickers are reliable much.
Yeah, yeah. When you settle for the field goal, you know what happens to you. You wind up. It happens all the time. Meanwhile, the other math we have right now is, hey, we got something. We're coming down to it in Tampa as the Bucks get a turnover. Jared Goff, that was one of the worst possessions a quarterback could possibly have. All right, in three plays, trying to protect a 7-point lead, they have the ball near midfield after they stop the Buccaneers on downs. They go for it on fourth down from the Rams 40. They don't get it. Chris Godwin looks like he slips a little bit coming out of his break. Brady's pass is a little bit to the side. So the Rams take over. Jared Goff's possession was he fumbled the first snap but fell on it. Got a delay a game penalty, and then threw an interception. That's about as bad a series as you could have because you can only turn the ball over once per series. So you have a fumble, a delay a game, and then an interception. And Tom Brady makes the Rams pay. He throws a touchdown pass to Godwin that ties the game at 24 apiece. So now there's 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Rams are getting the football back. And, you know, just to put a bow on this for right now is that, you know, we can look at this game and say, oh, Jared Goff blew it here. Oh, Tom Brady wasn't very good because Brady's not had a great game. This is not one of those games where, oh, so-and-so stand. This is a heavyweight fight right now.
Yeah.
That's what this is. You are seeing the best of the Rams, but you're also seeing the best of the Tampa Bay defense, which is pretty good. You're not seeing the best of Tom Brady, but you saw the best clutch Tom Brady getting them into the end zone right there. This is a heavyweight fight right now, and that's what you are seeing. You are seeing two of the three best teams in the NFC going at it, and this is what you get sometimes. It's not a perfect game from either team. It's a heavyweight battle.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Goff has performed so well under pressure, give the Rams a lot of credit. He's had time to throw. You've already got 46 attempts. Why? They're not running the football for anything. As I like to say, they're barely falling forward. Yeah, that's right. That's sitting at 2 yards per carry as a team, 15 for 30. So a lot of throwing, and with no Whitworth on that offensive line, a lot of questions of how they'd be able to handle the Tampa Bay front, which has been stout, and we know they're good against the run, but not really able to get a whole lot of pressure on Goff. He's had his time to work downfield, and he's done a great job with the exception of a couple of throws.
Yeah, you're seeing everything that illustrates this game. You are seeing, it illustrates why is this game so good? Why are we seeing something that it's because, look, the Bucs defense is good. You know, you think the Bucs defense isn't, the Bucs defense is pretty good. The Rams defense, we know how good the Rams defense is. So, listen, you can try to cut it up and say this is a guy to blame and it's going to be Brady's fault or Goff's fault after. No, this is one of those where, hey, you feel like you're watching a playoff game. I mean, it has that vibe, doesn't it? I feel this is like a divisional Sunday, you know, or divisional Saturday in the NFL, where the wild card weekends are gone and the winner of this game is going to play for the conference championship.
Well, you'd be happy to know that there's only 148 air yards for Jared Goff in this game, as 196 yards of yak. It was a good echo effect that I got in there too. I didn't even plan that.
Oh no, that was pretty good. Because I know you like to get yak in as many times as possible.
It's true. It's true. I'm under on the year for my use of yak, so I will really have to ramp it up here over these final 6 weeks of the season.
So this is where we're at right now. The game is tied at 24. Rams have the ball near midfield, and there's about 3:41 left to go. The Buccaneers have all three of their timeouts. So if the Rams get in the end zone or if they score here, it looks like the Bucs will at least have a chance to come back and give Tom Brady the football at least one more time. So there is that. So we'll keep you updated on this game, of course. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Don't forget, our Best Of podcast gets posted right after our show is over on iTunes. You can check it out and use the iHeartRadio app. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, you get it. You can subscribe, listen to it, rate us, give us 5 stars. We'll love you forever. Give us 1 star and just tell us you gave us 5 stars and we'll still love you forever. iTunes, the iHeartRadio app, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. Listen, thank you very much for all the participation you're doing. As I've mentioned a few times, our podcasts are up 50% from last year to this year. You're really finding it and clicking and listening. And I just want to say really appreciate all of those things. And I know Mike Harmon does as well, because you can go back and see the good fantasy advice and gambling advice that he's given over the course of the past few months.
I've been pretty good. I got to say, if you took the advice, you've cashed a lot of tickets, and maybe I saved Christmas. How about that? Let's just
wow, Mike Harmon saved Christmas. I like that, man.
I'm not looking like Santa anymore because the road to Swole is real, but you know.
I don't know. I think if you put on like and Santa'd have to be wearing purple stuff too. I mean, because I know how happy you are after Northwestern proving, hey, you know, it's 1996 again. Look how good you are. So I get that, you know, purple is going to be the big theme this Christmas, even for Santa.
Yeah, no respect on Saturday. I didn't think the joke was particularly clever, but I loved the way the Wildcats rallied to it and then, you know, screamed in the postgame presser with Pat Fitzgerald.
Oh, the fighting Reese Davises? The fighting Reese Davises joke?
I didn't much like it. I mean, it's really disrespectful, you know, from Joey Galloway. He's been around the conference for a couple of decades. He knows better than that. But you know what? It got him some notoriety, so I hope he's happy. Likewise, Reese Davis got it ended up being put on him, like he said it.
You're right. It's his fault.
it ended up being his fault, and all he was the example. But you know what? Say what you want. They're up to number 11 in the AP 25 and handled Wisconsin not easily, but a good grind-out victory, and that defense is for real. So curious to see how the season continues to unfold in the Big Ten. But, yes, a lot of purple to be worn and celebrated. It is the color of royalty, after all.
All right, now I'm going to run through a bunch of famous Northwestern alums, and you tell me if you would have been slighted or been okay if the line from Joey Galloway was, they look like, you know, this person, X, instead of Reese Davis, okay?
Okay,
a bunch of famous Northwestern alums, right? What if they said they look like a bunch of Meghan Markles?
Well, she didn't graduate, I don't think, so she didn't.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Okay, hang on. Oh, she didn't graduate? Oh,
Cindy Crawford. I mean, they look good. They've done great things. Okay. They didn't graduate.
What about they look like a bunch of David Schwimmers?
I know a lot of people that didn't like Schwimmer very much, so no.
Wow, that's a hot take. David Schwimmer hated at Northwestern.
I wouldn't say hated. Guy did some good things.
You said people didn't like him very much. No, you just said that. You just said, I know people that didn't like him very much. I'm like, whoa, he's hated. No, I didn't say that. No,
well,
you actually
I didn't say he was hated. There's a difference between they didn't care. They didn't like the cut of his jib versus they hated him.
No, but you just said they didn't like the guy. If they don't like somebody, it means I hate that person. I don't understand. That's what you said. Oh, wow.
I don't care from much, yeah.
Wow, people hate that. Okay, what if they said, you know, a bunch of Julia Louise Dreyfuses?
Very popular, spanning several decades. Mm-hmm. Legacy, timeless, absolutely.
She's
take
a legacy.
Brad
okay,
Hall
she's
with her.
Okay, all right. What about the bunch of George R.R. Martins?
He's a Jets fan.
So?
It's one character flaw. Otherwise, wow. He's looking good.
So you don't like that. Okay, what about Cloris Leachman?
Legend.
Okay, raunchy. All right.
Willing to keep the jokes going well into her 80s? Yeah, my kind of person telling you what she thinks? Yeah, we could get behind that.
Zooey Deschanel.
Did she graduate?
I don't know. Dude, I don't know. These are famous. They're alumni. So if you're alumni, it means you graduated,
right? Baby, it's cold outside together now?
No.
I really can't
get out.
Stay.
Don't look at me. Get out.
Baby,
don't look
it's
at me.
Cold outside.
Listen, what I'm talking about, this is supposedly Northwestern. Look, the internet is not going to lie to me. I mean, they're going to tell me the truth.
They're all folks that attended, right?
Going to the school.
I could go to a weekend seminar at Harvard. I attended Harvard.
All right, what about Warren Beatty?
Well, he's Hollywood royalty, some questions, and he's got Annette Bening, so that's good, too.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Oh, and all right. What if they said they looked like a bunch
Bugsy.
Of... And he was They looked like... you think you could steal from me?
Which means he looked like a tough guy. So...
What if, all right. Last one. What if I said they look like a bunch of Pharrell Williams?
Pharrell Williams is not a Northwestern guy.
Yeah, it says it right here.
He could have said a bunch of Eddie Georges because he's got
Pharrell
a graduate
Williams.
Degree.
It said right here, Northwestern. Hang on a second.
No.
I got Pharrell Williams at Northwestern. I realize
really?
He's a vampire because he looks the same at 23 that he does at, you know, at like 48 right now.
Well,
hang on a second.
If he's one of ours, great producer, sure.
Okay, here it is. Well, and here it is. He attended Northwestern.
Yeah.
He attended Northwestern.
Said he attended for 2 years before dropping out. How about that?
Okay. Well, I think he made the right call. I mean,
I think it worked out pretty well for him.
It worked out pretty well. See, that's the thing, kids. School is really unnecessary. You know, if you don't like college, hey, just say it's not for me and take a... No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
But if you do have an avenue whereby you can go create, make cash, and do what you love, I'm not gonna hate it. Because as I always say, schools are going to be there, right? As I argue it with athletes, I'll argue it with whatever other job and occupation you may be able to occupy it. You know, you got to follow that dream wherever that dream may lead you, as Elvis once sang.
So right now we have the Rams and the Bucks. There are 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Rams get a field goal to take the lead, but Brady has the football, and the Bucks are on the move. They have the ball near the 40-yard line right now. Antonio Brown with another grab. I think that's his 38th catch tonight for 47 yards. So it's a big night for Antonio Brown. So 27-24.
Hey, PPR monster, baby.
He is. Hey, you know what? Listen, we were a little upset yesterday because you took Tim Patrick out of our starting lineup and put in Antonio Brown. It's a must-win week for us in the celebrity fantasy league we do together. We were like, oh, man, you took Tim Patrick out. He had a great day. And now Antonio Brown basically has the same points as Tim Patrick, and everything is okay.
See, I feel all is right with the world.
You did. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We are now officially at the 2 minute warning, and the Buccaneers are about 25 yards away from field goal range, but Tom Brady certainly has the time to get more done. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Coming up, are we talking about overtime? Are we talking about Tom Brady winning? Are the Tom Brady haters coming out because Brady can't get it done and turns to Jared Goff lovers? And then it's Jared Goff haters. Oh, something is happening. Keep it right here. We have that plus more big news out of the NFL. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
And my goodness, the Rams are going to escape with a 27-24 win. Tom Brady was moving the Bucks fine. They had the ball near midfield. There was still a lot of time left, about a minute 45. And Brady decides to throw deep into triple coverage and it's an easy interception for the Rams, and the Rams were able to kill the clock all the way down to a couple of seconds left. Johnny Hecker's punt is fielded by the Bucks, but time runs out, so the Rams win this game 27-24, and it was not a great night for Brady. 26-48, 216, two touchdowns and two interceptions. He certainly had his moments, but he did not look good for the most part tonight. And I tell you the same thing about Tom Brady. I'm going to keep saying this, Mike, I think for the rest of his career. Whenever he doesn't look good, whenever he's not comfortable in the pocket, he does two things. He throws the ball early and he throws the ball low. He didn't throw the ball low tonight, but there were many plays where he threw the ball way early where a receiver was just coming out of his break or they hadn't turned around yet. And this is what happens to Brady when he is uncomfortable in the pocket. The Rams defense was able to get pressure around him all night. Even though they only got one sack, they were able to get there and keep him uncomfortable, and he threw the ball early a ton. The other thing is, what have we said? What have you and I said since Brady signed with the Buccaneers? He's 43 years old. It's not going to be suddenly he's going to be great. It's not going to be suddenly he is awful. He's going to be a lot of this. Some games will be good. Some games will be average. Some games will be bad. He's had four or five good, really good games this year. He's had one or two average games, and he's had five stinkers. Right, that's kind of what you get when you have a 43-year-old quarterback who just isn't the same guy, despite the fact he has as many weapons as he does. You're going to get games like this from Tom Brady. That's just the way it is. Doesn't mean he's great again. Doesn't mean he was terrible, which is apparently the only two takes you can have. But this is the realistic thing for Brady. Where he is in his career, you're going to get some weeks great and some weeks not so great. Like I said, he is more Joe Montana near the end, trying to get out a couple of years than he is Tom Brady saying, I got four. Then he is Peyton Manning saying, I got 4 years in Denver where we're just going to pin our ears back and go. This is where Brady is in reality.
Yeah, I mean, when we watch each and every one of these games, you also have to recognize the greatness of the defense that he's facing. And at every level, you've got playmakers on this Rams D, and you saw Fuller as the take full advantage of that tonight. He was the guy that sealed things with his second interception of the game.
Excuse me.
Thank you. I thought I got it. The mute isn't as responsive as I'd hope. I feel good. I'm feeling fine. Nobody worry about me. I'm good. Just a little dust because I've been cleaning all day. But the idea being that for Tom Brady, even with all the weapons and the super friends assembled, when you face better defenses or the teams that have the scheme that matches up well, right? Sean Payton and the Saints, for their two games, they owned them, right? They owned them in week one, and they owned them a couple of weeks ago and just absolutely obliterated them. We know this. With the Rams, you've got great personnel. I'm watching these guys all five wide and wishing that Brady had a super arm, you know, like Bucky running around in Infinity War. Oh, I'll get that arm. In other words,
how much for the arm? Not for sale. I'll get that.
Right? I mean, if you had a guy with a big arm, like a guy rotten right now in New Orleans because they're playing the other guy, that you could have some fun with that, just winging the ball around. But when we're watching that last possession for the Buccaneers, they got greedy. They got greedy. You had almost two full minutes. You had two timeouts left. You've got all of those weapons that they have to defend each and every play. You know the flag is always just an extra little shove and grab from coming out that you didn't need to go for the downs with. And granted, it's to Cameron Brate, so you're going to, you know, the fifth option out of your receiving core. But they were waiting for it. They had the extra man. Fuller read it perfectly and just waited like it was a punt, much like the earlier interception from Brady. So, yeah, it's the ebb and flow and the roller coaster. There's going to be some tense moments, some angry moments. Godwin got nicked up a little bit towards the end there, so we'll keep an eye on him. But, yeah, when Ramsey essentially erases Evans for much of the game, You've got to keep working to the check down. And that offensive line, as we know, has been one of the issues for Tampa. Not to put it on them at all. I mean, Brady, you know, just has to make better throws, give his receivers a chance. He had a couple of drops. He had a deep ball to Antonio Brown that went through his arms that probably should have been caught. Leonard Fournette had a couple. They'd like to have that one back kind of moment. The worst line of analysis you'll ever hear in sports. Well, I'm sure as they look in this particular game, there's a lot of moments that you know, those inches are all around.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. You got Jason Locke and Fora coming up in 90 seconds. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. I got a joke for you, Mike Harmon. You ready?
Hit me. Yeah.
Okay. Tom Brady loses a football game, and as the clock strikes zero, the opposing quarterback comes out to shake his hand, and Tom Brady just walks off the field.
That's a good line.
That's the joke. That's it. It's not, and it's not just Nick Foles. It's not like Jared Goff, you know, took off his head and it turned out to be Nick Foles, like this was Mission Impossible. No. Jared Goff walked to midfield. You know he's waiting for Tom Brady. He's shaking other people's hands, and Brady just decided to walk off the field. I mean, you can't sit here and make excuses for the guy anymore. He's just a bad sport. I get it. I'm not going to shake anybody's hand and walk off the field. I'm not going to do it. When he wins, he's out there all the time, right? Hey, good game. But I lose and I can't go out there after the game is over and say, hey, good game. I mean, really, I mean, that. What else can you say about the guy? Yeah, you can't defend him anymore. And because, look, this is something that all players do, especially the quarterbacks and the head coaches. Look, we saw Harbaugh have the big snub yesterday of Vrabel because he was pissed off about what happened before the game. So
but
when
they said there was nothing wrong. What are you talking about?
There's nothing wrong. No, I just don't like the guy. But the quarterbacks, especially Brady, he knows when the camera's on him, they expect, but still, I'm not going to go do it. I'm not going to shake Nick Foles' hand. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to shake Nick Foles' hand again. I'm not going to shake Jared Goff's hand. No, when I lose, I'm not going to go out there and shake anybody's hand. Not that this is, oh boy, suddenly it's peewee football and everybody gets orange slices and a participation trophy. But still, Brady's usually out there after they win. He's out there when they win. I don't see him out there when they lose. This is the second time this season that we've seen him in a nationally televised game saying, yeah, I'm just walking right off the field.
0-4 against the spread in primetime games this year. Maybe he's just feeling shame.
Mm.
Maybe it's just the shame and he didn't want one more Chiron to put up that note.
I'm just going to leave.
Didn't think about that, did you?
I don't want to give you any time to put the Chiron up over me.
No mocking me. Just put the picture of me with the four fingers up and leave me alone.
Covers his face with his hand.
Don't look at me. I'm hideous.
At least I knew what the down was this time. I knew when I threw the pick, we were coming off the field, so that's progress from me, right? I mean, look, this is who Brady is. When Brady has games that are frustrating, when he loses games where he doesn't play well or thinks he should play better, all of these things, he turns into this guy. Right, he turned to this guy, and now I'm going to walk off the field and not shake hands, not even give you the wave. Right, even if you because that's the whole thing is that if you just made it like midway part to the field and you wanted to talk about COVID and everything else, and you just give the hey wave, okay, just like the coaches do, right? You see that sometimes when coaches come out, they don't want to get through everybody and shake hands, like hey, you give me the wave, good game, I got you, but I'm going to walk off the field right now. That's all he's got to do. That's all he's got to do is come out and just do the wave and go, hey, all right, you'll see. All right, yeah, good game. Okay, you know, here's Goff all the way to midfield to do it, you know, knowing full well this is what it is. But this is, I mean, it's just being a baby not doing that. I mean, really, it's you know, look.
You called him a baby.
It's like being a baby. I can't go shake hands after we lose. Can't go do it. I mean, I don't know what else. This is not a playoff game where, the season ended and I'm very emotional and I really don't want to go shake anybody's hand right now. Even though all the players go to midfield and still shake hands, they all walk over. Hey, good game. I got friends over here. Hey, that was great. You played well. I want to make sure. Hey, good. I want to acknowledge you. And, you know, you don't do the jersey swaps anymore and certain things because of COVID. But still, people go to midfield. It happens all the time, right? So to sit here and say, oh, I get it when a guy can't be a good sport. Everybody else can be. Everybody else, this is the way it's done in the NFL. So you can't sit here and tell me that, no, he doesn't have to. It's just that this is the way it is done. This is how you show respect to the team you play against, and you show respect for the game you just played. You go out there, and you at least, hey, all right, that's good. I'm the quarterback. I should go out there and do this. But I'm just going to walk off the field because I'm pissed off. I know Arians is going to yell at me. He's going to make oblique remarks about how I'm a bad quarterback again. I'm not into this. I'm not going to shake your hand, Nick Faw. I'm not going to shake your hand, Jared Goff. I'm not going to do it.
I think what you need to do is at Swollen Dome, at How About a Fresca, if you have a name for this clinical point, this affliction for Tom Brady, please let's come up with the medical definition, medical term that best describes this phenomenon, and let's try to push that forward, because this this ain't the last time that we're talking about this. I can tell you that.
I mean, it's a, you would think if you're Brady, right? If you would think if you're Brady that you know that, okay, I'm just going to get killed in the media, and they're going to say this stuff about me if I don't go out and shake hands. So you think at this point, having won as much as he's won, and having had the career that he's had, people calling him the GOAT and all of these things, you would think with all of this stuff going on, okay, I can walk over. This is like, I don't need this, but I'm still going to go do that. I'm still going to not go shake hands at midfield. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's being a baby. If you're hurt, if there's something going on, if something happened during the game, if Jared Goff is throwing touchdowns and he's going, you like that, and he's pointing at his bicep going, look at this, I'm throwing all these touchdowns, I'm calling Giselle after the game, you look at this, yeah, then I understand. I don't want to go shake his hand. But here's Jared Goff out there to shake hands, and everything is good. And still Brett, nope, just walking around because I'm mad because I threw an interception at the end. I'm mad. And maybe in some kind of weird way, he wants us to see that, oh, I'm really mad at myself because I blew this, so I want you to see how much I care. Like Tom Brady has anything to worry about convincing us about how he cares, how he feels about his NFL career at this point. The guy's done enough over two decades, I think, to show us what he cares, what he wants to do with the National Football League. But Brady is always more media savvy than you think he is, right? Like I say, whenever things aren't going right, what have I seen for 20 years? The camera so happens to be on Brady, and he's yelling at his teammates on the on the sideline, or he's yelling at them on the field. And when he knows the camera's on him, I'm yelling at my teammates, letting them know, hey, this is not acceptable. This is not my fault. He is much more media savvy than you think he is. And he knows, coming off the field, that, oh, this is what I really want to go out there. I wasn't want to shake hands because it's not a big deal. I want people to see that I care. It doesn't matter. I mean, really, if you go or don't go, it seems like you care any more or any less. I mean, I don't get it. And this is why, no matter how you want to cut it up, he looks like he's a baby. That I can't go. I can go when I win, but when I lose now, especially in these regular season games that are not nearly as meaningful as playoff games, I still can't go do it.
Well, I think you have a hatred for Brady that runs deep. You called him a baby. You called him a child.
I don't have any hatred for Brady anymore. I mean, not that I ever hated him. Well, as a football fan, I'm like, oh, my God.
You did.
But I never hated the guy. I have no dog in the fight right now.
You've mocked his recovery pajamas. You've mocked everything about the man.
Oh, come on. If you can't mock recovery pajamas, what can you mock?
Hey, man.
I mean, where are we in this world?
But, I mean, if that gives you the mental capacity, right, you feel like you're going to be better, then maybe it helps you. Maybe it's 1%. maybe that's all it takes, and it puts you on a path towards greatness. I don't know. But to your point, yeah, look, all these guys know the games. It's the same thing as all these guys for years, coaches, players, and everything else telling me, I don't read what's said about me. Okay, someone else reads it to you. But you know damn well everything that's written about you, against you as a player, against whatever you might have said in an interview. You know what's written in the local papers. You know how each and every one of those local reporters comments on you, and you've got your scoreboard. You're keeping receipts because you want to show every one of them with a great performance. So with Tom Brady, I don't think he's different from anybody else. It's just, well, he's Tom Brady. Which means 6 Super Bowl rings will get folks to comment on a bit of everything. Every quarterback yells at his line when they think he thinks they've failed him. everybody throws a tablet.
Yeah, but
now and
I don't. But
and everybody hurts sometime.
I don't see the cameras always on Aaron Rodgers when he's yelling at his. I don't see it. I never saw Cam Newton on the sideline yelling at his teammates. Yeah, but I always see Brady doing it. Always saw Brady. I'm always going to, when things aren't going, because things always go well. You know, and that's part of it. You know, that might be part of it, because things have gone well for him for so long. And it was, yeah. Boy, things are just awesome. But the couple of times things don't go well, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Well, we all know people like that in our lives from the time we're kids all the way through our adulthood.
Yeah, but this should have stopped.
A little bit of adversity, they run away.
Yeah, but this should have stopped when it comes to video games. It's like, oh, I'm going to play a video game against you, and I think I'm going to win, and you wind up beating me pretty bad, and I go, I'm not playing that game anymore. This game sucks. And you take it out, and you throw it out. Let's play a new game. And then you put in a new game, and you lose in that game. You go, oh, this game sucks. Let's play. You know, I don't want to play a game anymore. I'm done playing this game. I'm finished. That's kind of what it's like. Brady's the guy saying, oh, I don't want to play this game anymore. This game sucks.
Especially when
that's what he is.
When he takes on that tone, that's even better. It sounded like the impression we used to make of family members when they'd be all mad and salty about stuff.
You know, the funny thing is that, you know what I used to do? I used to really upset my friend. But it's not that big a deal. But is that whenever, like, if I was at my friend's house, we were playing video games. Like, when I'm in my 20s, we're playing, like, NHL or PGA
NHL
Tour.
94, and you made Gretzky's head bleed.
Oh,
I've seen
God.
That
Watch
movie.
His head bleed. Gretzky, watch his head bleed. Like, those are the big games that I play. It was NHL and, you know, all the games in the 90s and 2000s and PGA Tour. And but especially in hockey, we would play, and my best friend, he would hate me all the time. Because, like, we'd be playing, and then the pizza would get here. And if I was at his house, he'd go, all right, let me go get it. I was like, all right, great. So we pause the game. He would get up to go get the pizza. I would unpause the game, score a goal, and then pause it back. And
you
he
stole
would go,
it right out of Swingers. You
right,
jerk.
Right. No. And then he would come back, and he would go, all right, we'd start playing again, because I'd pause. He'd go, all right. He goes, wasn't it 4-2? Wasn't I winning 4-2? I go, no, it's 4-3. When did you score? I said, Roenick scored, and then I had Eric Daze, and then Roenick again. When? I go, dude, it's 4. What do you want me to do? It's 4-3. All right, we'll play. And he finally realized when once I did it and I dropped the remote. And he was, oh, I knew you'd been changing the screen. I knew you'd been doing it when I would go get the food. So mad.
You got an Eric Daze reference in. All our people and fans and friends and family back in Chicago now salute you. Oh, good times.
Oh, Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike Gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We got more on this game coming up. Plus, hey, you want to talk about quarterbacks. If you think Patrick Mahomes is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL the next dozen years, I can't tell you any different. Who might be the second best quarterback the next dozen years? Ooh, I might have a different answer after yesterday. That's coming up next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Geico Studios, where we just watched the Rams get away with a 27-24 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And before we get to another quarterback in a second, Mike, I got to say, you know, look, we'll spend a lot of time on Brady, but the Rams... There's a reason why a few weeks ago I said this is the most dangerous team in the NFC, because they're showing that they can win a lot of different ways. They can run the ball 40 times a game and win like they've done all the way up until tonight. They can throw the ball 500 times like they did tonight and win the game. They can't do it every week because they're not relying on Jared Goff to do it as much. And you saw a couple of reasons why tonight his two bad picks almost cost him the game. But they are such a loaded team across the board, especially defensively. You look at the job they did on the Buccaneers tonight when the Buccaneers have all kinds of playmakers on offense, and they were able to shut Tom Brady and this group of talented guys down. I'm telling you, if the Rams wind up in the Super Bowl, I would not be surprised. The NFC is really wide open, and the Rams could be the most complete team out of everybody.
Well, and they didn't even get anything from the running game today is the one that stands out, right? You're looking at about 2 yards a carry, enough to run some time off the clock, short yardage situations, whatever. But I've been clamoring for more plays downfield. And while a lot of it's yak, you're still throwing into open space. A lot of good, well-designed routes today to get both Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods room to operate. Credit to Sean McVay and the schemes. On the other side, defensively, we've talked about it, how good they are at every level. We saw what they did with Russell Wilson a week ago, right? So that's no surprise. Look, what happened against the Dolphins was just one of the crazier convergence of events that you could have, right? When you're talking about a punt return for a touchdown, defensive score, setting up another short scoring opportunity, and just like that, you got jumped on and were never able to recover. The week before that, they beat up on the Bears, who at that point, well, weren't quite the laughing stock that they become en route to a 500 season where you don't even know who the starter is going to be at this point for week 12 because both guys are banged up. But that's a story for another time. When we look at the Rams, you're talking about a great defensive front getting and muddying things up for Brady at his feet. The formula that works. It's what the Bears were able to do all those weeks ago as well. Same thing here. And good work up front to get the ball out fast, make it a little bit more of a 50-50 ball, even on short and intermediate routes, helps to, you know, upset the timing, creating perhaps a little bit of the pressure that leads to some of those drops. And then you've got the great play at the safety position helping out. You know, Ramsey is going to do his thing. So, yeah, they're dangerous and surging at the right time with the schedule that should put them in pretty good position in terms of their playoff seeding.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dough. I mean it. Rams Super Bowl is not far-fetched. In fact, like I said, they may be the most complete team in the NFC. But just this for a couple of seconds, because speaking of the Rams, yesterday the Chargers made it much tougher than it needed to be against the Jets, right? I mean, this should have been a game plus where nine. They won. Look, I told you Herbert was going to throw for 500 yards. He threw for 260 early in the second quarter, all right? Yeah. He could have thrown for 600. He could have thrown to Keenan Allen on every single play. The Jets' defensive backs are just that bad, and they're young, and they had no starters. Look, the Jets we're ready for Trevor Lawrence. I'm ready for Trevor Lawrence. But if you want to look back and say, okay, in the last 4 years, we've had a lot of quarterbacks drafted in the first round, and clearly Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, and he could go down as the best ever at some point. He just is that much more talented than everybody else. He's just that good. If you had to say to me who's going to have the next best career after Patrick Mahomes, I might have to say Justin Herbert. And I admit I was wrong about this guy. He was polarizing. You know, there were some games playing for Oregon his senior year. I'm like, this guy's going to go in the first round of the draft. And it's not that just yesterday, but I saw some things yesterday in the game against the Jets. He's even more advanced than he was earlier on in the season. Okay, earlier on in the season when Herbert comes in and he plays with limited reps. All right, remember there was not a lot of reps. Tyrod Taylor was the starter with limited reps. He comes in and plays extremely well, right? He moves the team dynamically. He's accurate. He throws the ball in tight windows. His rollout to his weak side and throwing and lasering that touchdown pass to Keenan Allen when the DB is a foot away from him, I mean, that's some kind of throw that not many guys can make. It's not about arm strength. It's about being able to do all of those things. So we know that he's able to, that guy already. He's accurate, throws in tight windows, and he moves the team dynamically. But one thing I saw from him on Sunday was this kid has zero panic in the pocket. Every play, it's like the game is moving slow. He knows exactly where he wants to go with the football, what he wants to do. It's just, this is what's going to happen on this play, and here's the football. He sees the field incredibly well downfield. Look, the guy's 9 feet tall. Of course you're going to. But he sees downfield so well, much better than other quarterbacks. And the way the Chargers are designed to always be able to throw the football well, whether it's Dan Fouts or Stan Humphries or Phillip Rivers, they always throw the football well. They always have playmakers. He's in place to have the next best career in the NFL after Patrick Mahomes the next few years because of his talent and what the Chargers like to do.
See, I thought you were going to become a Taysom Hill fanboy was where you were going to go with this, or you were going to pick some other. I happily was on the other side of Herbert. You and I fought about him a bunch coming into the draft. What I will say is this, comes in the circumstances of the punctured lung for Tyrod Taylor And they had to change that offense. So give everybody credit for working to the kid's strength and for him just leaping in. And it's cool, like a bunch of little Fonzies getting after. Great opportunity again for him to put up some numbers this week going up against Buffalo. And I think you're right. I mean, a lot of our other young quarterbacks, we're starting to see the warts here as their second full run goes through. I think with this guy, if you can get the offensive line and maybe a better opportunity to close out games, the greatness is there.
Telling you, Justin Herbert could be the next best career after Patrick Mahomes. What about Tom Brady? Whoa, hold on to your hats. That's next.